First, I'd like to say thank you to the church. Thank you for allowing me this opportunity. This is something that's been on my heart for a little while now. And like I told Josh when I met with him that day, I ran from it. And I ran and I ran. And anyone who's ever ran from something God wanted you to do, you was miserable. If you wasn't miserable, He didn't really want you to do it. He worked on me and worked on me and worked on me. And finally I said, okay. If this is what you really want, I'm going to do it. Amen. And I ain't going to argue with you no more. We're going to be in John chapter 20 today. But before I get there, I want to ask you all a question. And what I want to ask you is, what do your hands, these hands you've got that God gave you, what do they say about you? What story do they tell of your life? There's just a quick little story, a little bit of my life I want to tell you about. Growing up, my grandfather was basically my father. He was the one I look up to. He's the one that I respected. And I remember a time when I was about 6 years old. We was out, and he was teaching me how to take care of a garden. And I don't remember what I was doing now, but I was doing something, and I wasn't doing it the right way. And he reached down there. And he popped my hand and he said, look, you got to do it this way. And what I want you to understand from that was that man worked all his life. He served this country in the military. He had rough hands. I mean, you look at his hand, it still looks like one big old callus. But those rough hands were tender. They were loving. They were very, very strong, but yet very easy at the same time. I'm going to read our scripture to us, if you'll stand for me, with me while we read the Word of God. It's going to be verses 19 through 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad. When they saw the Lord, then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain are retained. You can be seated. If Brother Kevin would pray for us.
Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you at this time. Thank you for this another beautiful day and opportunity to gather with our brothers and sisters. Lord, we thank you for this church, God, our pastor, and each one it takes to make it up. What a blessing it is to be a part. Lord, we just pray for Joe now. God, take him and use him. Lord, hide him behind the old rugged cross where he stands, where no man can stand alone. And God, we ask you, just use him in a mighty way and help him, Lord. We'll thank you, give him souls for his labor, and we'll just praise you, honor and glorify you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
One thing I want to show you real quickly, talk to you real quickly about, if I can find it. I do apologize. I thought I had it marked. This same account of Jesus coming to the disciples, and this is one thing I want you to understand, is after his resurrection. This is after Jesus had died on the cross, and they had went to the tomb, and there was nothing there. They went back to this room, and they prayed together. They talked together, and Jesus came to them. In Luke chapter 24, verses 35 through 43, it tells this same account. And this is coming from Luke, and it's a little different. But it is the same thing. He comes to them, and every one of the disciples standing there, I don't know, I have a very imaginative mind. And if I sit down and I think about this, I'm sitting there in a room with 12 people, or 11 people, excuse me, that I've spent several years with. And we're talking and we're praying. And then all of a sudden, out of the middle of nowhere, I hear a voice say, peace be unto you. That's probably going to scare me. I don't know about many of y'all, but I'd be frightened. Well, when they looked up and they heard that voice and they looked up, they saw Jesus. But most of them did not believe that it was Him resurrected. They believed it was a spirit. And it wasn't until He showed them His hands, those wounded, scarred hands, that they knew it was Him and that they felt peace in their hearts. In the Scripture, we see them, they're locked behind closed doors. Here, Jesus didn't have to have a key to that door. He just walked in. He didn't have to knock on the door and someone let Him in. He came in. And for me, that talks about our hearts. You know, He can just come into our hearts, but we have to let Him in. If Jesus doesn't have to have a key to a door, He doesn't have to have a key to our hearts. He already has that. We just have to allow Him to use it. But the main point that God gave me from this scripture was just the fact of seeing those hands. And that's what the Lord laid on my heart for today was preaching to you about the hands of Jesus, the different stories that those hands told throughout His life. We know, and we all know, Jesus' job as when He was before He was in the ministry, He was a carpenter. It tells us in Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, "Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and of Joas and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended of him." All of you, men, women, you've all worked jobs in your lives. Some of us have worked more physical jobs. Some of us may not have. But I know that some of you men in here, and I like to think all ladies' hands are nice and soft and pretty, so don't none of y'all get offended by this. But all the men's hands in here are calloused and rough and strong hands from working years on the job. That's when I imagine in my mind, that's what I see as Jesus' hands. I see big, what as a young man or a young boy, I would have said big man hands. I don't think of them as a little dainty, girly hand. I think of a great old big hand with big calluses and rough and strong. But those same hands that were rough and working were also the hands of a servant. They were the hands of a servant who was, he was a servant to us. He left the right hand of God to come down and become a man and to live and walk on this earth and be sinless. But he was also a servant to every one of our sins and everything that we would do against the will of God. You know, it says in Philippians chapter 2, and I'm going to read three verses here, "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal of God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him in the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And that says it right there for me, that you don't have to elaborate on God's word, but he came and he became a servant to sin, to every one of our sins, and then he became a servant of death. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to die and didn't have to resurrect. He did that because he loved us and because it was his Father's will. If, you know, and I'm going to use it, maybe not the exact words that it gives in the Bible. I don't have the scripture wrote down. But on the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." He knew what we would do. He knew what we had done. And he still yet was a servant to our sins. Those same hands, those rough and tough and strong hands that were also the hands of a servant, were also miraculous hands. Throughout the Bible and throughout the New Testament, we can read of many, many miracles that Jesus performed. But those miraculous, strong, subservient hands, they also told a story of tenderness and love. In Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, and this is basically the same thing that Brother Bill just talked about, and it blessed my heart to know that the Lord works in those kind of ways, to lay a scripture like that on Brother Bill's heart when I'm going in the same direction right here for just a second. He said in Mark chapter 10 and verse 16, "And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them." And here, this is little children coming to Jesus. And the disciples rebuked these little children. They said, "No, go away. Jesus is too busy for you. He doesn't have time for you." And Jesus turns and he tells his disciples, he still tells them with love, but it's a stern love. He tells them, no, don't send them away. And let me flip to that real quick and I'll read you exactly what it says. It says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And then he took them up in his arms and he blessed them. You know, that right there, like Brother Bill said, and I'll just reiterate, if to accept Jesus and to accept him in his heart and to go into the kingdom of God is to have the trust of a little child in him. It doesn't mean we have to go back to being a little child, but it means that we need to trust him as a little child trusts their parents. Every one of you here, me and my wife don't have kids yet, and the Lord hasn't blessed us with that. But the ones of you that do, you know that trust that a child has in you. And it's an ultimate trust. They trust you with their life, with their food, with the clothes that go on their back and everything. And that's what we have to do with God. We have to trust him with that. But those same hands that have told all these three stories that I've got onto, they tell even more stories. And this one is the most important one that I have for you today. This is the one that speaks to me the most. And it's Matthew chapter 14 and verse 31. And this is when, Peter. This is when Peter and Jesus are in a storm. They're in a storm and Jesus is walking on the water. And he reaches his hand out to Peter. And he says, Peter, come out with me. Peter steps out on the water and he's with God, with Jesus. He's walking on the water. But Peter's faith dims. Peter's faith weakens. And it says in verse 31 of chapter 14, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? For just a second, Peter doubted Jesus. And he began to sink into that water. And if it wouldn't have been for Jesus being there and Jesus reaching down and grabbing his hand, Peter would have died. No matter how, we all know Peter was a fisherman. That doesn't matter. In a storm, you can't swim but for so long. You can't wade water but for so long. And without Jesus being there, Peter would have surely died. And what I want you to understand and what I've got from this and what the Lord's laid on my heart to convey to you is, you know, Jesus saved Peter from surely a death of drowning, of sinking down. At this exact moment right now, Jesus wants to save us from a death. He wants to save us from eternal death and eternal separation from him and God and sinking into the pits of hell. You know, his hands are reaching down for us at all times. Those same hands that spoke the messages of love and strength and tenderness and stern love and sacrifice and subservientness, they're also the hands that can save. They're the hands that will reach down when you're at your lowest point in your life and will grab a hold of your hand if all you'll do is reach up to touch his. You can just reach up and touch his hand and he will grab yours and pull you up and you'll never have to worry about it again. You know, there's been many times in my life that I've been very low. There's been times in my life when I was nowhere near what God wanted for me. And I thank him every day for reaching down and pulling me up out of the pits and setting me on a solid foundation with him. I thank him so much for all that he's done for me. That's really all I have. The only other thing I have is I challenge anyone here today that doesn't know God, doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, to just reach up and just grab his hand and he'll lead you the rest of the way. That's all you have to do. You don't have to do a whole bunch of everything. You don't have to stand up here. You don't have to do anything other than reach up and trust him and just be with him. That's all I have for Josh.